Team Ace, Finnegan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Tuesday. I almost said Wednesday.
Yeah, you can say Wednesday. It don't matter.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, but it's Tuesday. People know. People know.
I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday tomorrow.
Absolutely.
But I hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday right now.
Absolutely. And it looks like it's about the rain.
I know. Where did this come from?
Yeah, where did these clouds come from?
I've got to get out of the habit of even checking the weather on my phone thing. The thing that comes with your phone, I've been burned several times where I look at it and like, oh, there's no chance of rain. And it starts raining.
Chances of rain. Yeah. Then, there you go.
It doesn't even give it a 10%.
It says zilch.
It doesn't even say nothing.
And then all of a sudden.
And all of a sudden it's pouring.
We do have a cloud hovering over here then I go by to the airport.
Yeah, then I go to my guys at Nashville Severe Weather. They're on it. I mean, I can always trust those guys.
I remember learning when I was younger that the rule of thumb is if the weather app says there is less than a 50% chance of rain, it's not going to rain.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how true that is, but I've always thought that.
It's so probably true like 50% of the time.
Yeah, 50% of the time,
maybe.
It works. Every
time.
Thank you, Sex Panther. Would it surprise either of you to know that when I was younger, when people would ask me, Adam, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, a meteorologist.
Oh, I can see that. I hear the rain, too.
When I was younger, one of my hobbies was tracking hurricanes.
Wow. A little Adam was tracking hurricanes.
I would look up the latitude and longitude.
Was this with the big-ass glasses?
Exactly.
It may have been at the beginning of the big-ass glasses era.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
But I would track the latitude and longitude. The local grocery store would have a map, and I kept the same map over years, and the colors would overlap and all of that stuff. But I never got the hang of it after that.
Man, Jimmy Neutron?
Goodness. Oh, that's an impressive reference from you.
I love Jimmy Neutron because the kids, that's what they watch. So I watched it too. I love Jimmy Neutron.
Okay.
My son has a head like Jimmy
Great
Neutron. He does. He's a smart kid too. That's why Adam, you know, birds of a feather like that.
I know him. We need to meet.
I know him because I know how my son thinks. Same way Adam
So what you're
thinks.
Saying is that your son has a big ass head.
Exactly.
Okay. Just
with a big ass brain in it.
Just double checking. I want to start by bringing up this story that wasn't meant to be humorous, but I still find it funny. Sean McVay, of course, the head coach of the LA Rams, says he tore his plantar fascia while coaching the Rams to victory against the Tennessee Titans last Sunday. He revealed his foot injury Monday on his coach's show. He didn't say exactly when it happened, but he appeared to pull up awkwardly while moving to call a timeout during the 33-19 win. And I read this story this morning. I chuckled. I sent it to both of you. And here is the first thing that crossed my mind. At some point during the show today, after I mention this story, somebody's honking outside. A little decorum, please.
Somebody's alarm's going off.
Yeah, car alarm's going off.
Oh, okay. Well, still.
It's not mine.
Decorum. I'm trying to host a radio show. Jeez. Nobody wants to hear that. Okay. Wait, it's still going.
Yes.
I'm going to power through because I'm a professional. When I saw this story, and I told you that I was going to mention it at the start of the show, the first thing that I thought, thank you to whoever turned off their car alarm. The first thing that I thought was, at some point after I read this story, somebody is going to text in at 615-737-1025 or phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and say, Brian Callahan, clearly not coaching hard enough. He's not suffering serious injury on the sideline.
He's playing through the pain. He's coaching through the pain.
Sean McVay wants that timeout so damn badly, he will tear his foot to call it. But not Brian Callahan. He's moseying on the sideline. Not coaching hard enough.
I blame the turf at Nissan Stadium.
That seemed to be – and listen, I know that, you know, the groundskeepers there, they do a fabulous job with, you know, the practice facility and everything else, this turf. So I don't know how they take care of that or what they do. to maintain it. But there were a few guys that slipped more than one or two occasions,
it's in
man.
Bad shape.
Yeah,
for
I'm like, man.
As new as it is, it looks old. It looks brown in certain areas of the field.
I think it's
I think it's the sand. How
that
is it
comes,
brown?
I think it's the sand that they put in it. But
must.
A few guys, there were more than two or three guys that slipped during the game this weekend.
So apparently the Nissan Stadium turf has claimed another victim, Sean McVay. Mm. Okay, just one moment because my honor has been besmirched here. Where's the bell?
Where's it at?
David has it. Ring the bell, David, when you have a chance. Thank you.
There we go.
My honor has been besmirched by Hair Metal Henry on our text line. He says, Adam, you're sort of like a meteorologist. You're never right on silly underdog picks. Excuse me. I am
that,
two.
That is slander.
I
will not take slander.
I am 2-1. I am 2-1 so far this season. Now, I'm not in first place. Hal Gill is in first place. Derek Mason is now in second place. So
yes.
In terms of points, I am in third place. But I do lead the competition, for what it's worth, in picking games because I am right 2 out of 3 so far.
Those lies will not be told on our station.
Right.
Adam
that is
does
slander.
Well.
That is slander.
Slander lies,
that
people.
That is slander.
We'll never have slander here. We are not. We're unslandered people.
Actually, it might be libel because he wrote it.
Ooh. We got you now.
Libel.
We got you.
I have
metal.
A journalism degree.
Yeah, we
I
got
took
you.
Ethics classes. This might be libel, Hair Metal Henry. So I may or may not sue you. We'll find out.
It's definitely besmirchment.
Yes. My honor has been besmirched. Nevertheless, let's talk about Brian Callahan. Because I know a lot of you, I'm not going to say all of you, I will say a good portion of you, because I don't want to slander you, are out on Brian Callahan. He is irredeemable in your eyes as an NFL head coach. His record speaks for itself. 3-16 as a head coach in the NFL. I've coined the anti-Callahan group the Callahaters. Mm-hmm. I have dubbed Big Joe Dubin as the king of the Callahaters. He's been that way since last training camp when Brian Callahan did not dismiss Jeffrey Simmons from practice when he got into a kerfuffle or scuffle. But let's be real. Titans fans, for now, for the Callahaters out there, you're stuck with Brian Callahan. He's going to be this team's head coach for now. So, what's important is that Brian Callahan, for as long as he's the Titans head coach, what's important for Brian Callahan is that he maximizes Cam Ward's skill set and gets the most out of Cam Ward. So, here is how I want to start today with Willie and Derek and all of you at 615-737-1025. How would we assess Brian Callahan's play calling for Cam Ward so far, and what more can Callahan do to accentuate Ward's strengths? And I was influenced by a tweet or post from Dan Orlovsky about a week ago. He said, quote, if you don't have a difference maker as a play caller in the NFL today, you won't survive as a team. The disparity is glaring. And we will talk more about play callers around the NFL, but let's start with that first question. And I'll start with Willie. How would you assess Brian Callahan's play calling for Cam Ward so far, keeping in mind the personnel that Brian Callahan has at his disposal, and what more can Callahan do to accentuate Ward's strengths?
I am going to harken back to a reference that I have and I am not a gamer, okay? But back in the day, the guys on the Vanderbilt basketball team used to play a game called Tecmo Bowl. You remember Tecmo Bowl, D-Mate?
Oh, definitely. I was a beast at Tecmo Bowl.
I am familiar.
You're familiar with Tecmo Bowl. And I don't know. I just hit my phone. Something's going off my phone. Sorry about that, guys.
First, the car alarm. Now your phone.
Yeah, good grief.
Get the New York Giants. You get the New York Giants, you would never lose. Run all hooks.
I
can't cover it.
I never had, and I still never have, ever had a game console in my place of residence.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
That makes one of us.
And, you know, but I would always try to go to my buddy's house that had Atari or Mattel or Sega, you know, all of that
Sega.
Stuff, right? So it was the same way in college. So some of the guys, they had Tecmo Bowl, and we had a couple guys on the team that were awesome, right? So I played a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to level the playing field is if I had one of the better teams.
The Giants.
Yeah, well, Tecmo Bowl, yeah, it was the Giants, which I like playing with. Chicago, the 49ers with Joe Montana. Yeah.
Bo Jackson
was awesome. Yes. Tecmo Bowl. So I would take one of those teams. And then for the challenge, Ronnie McMahon, who was like a Jedi master at it, I would make him take the Indianapolis Colts with – they were 1-15 for one of the seasons, right? He had to take one of the worst teams, and it was a challenge for him. Mm-hmm. He still beat me, but it was a good game. I had a chance, so I feel like that's Brian Callahan right now. So he knows going into every game plan. He's got a rookie quarterback who doesn't know what he's going to know in another year or two. He's got his right tackle is injured. Right now, he can't play. Even going into week one, I think they knew he was compromised, mm-hmm. and it certainly played like it. He's got a left tackle that's shaky. He's got a number one receiver that's not a number one receiver. He's got a steady pro as a tailback who right now he's got to lean on heavily because his backup's hurt. Mm-hmm. And he's got rookies across the board who are the other guys. So that is the Tecmo Bowl. That's the Indianapolis Colts that I made Ronnie played with in 1991, right? And on the other side, he's faced two really good teams. Mm-hmm. So I think under the circumstances, I think he's done a reasonable job. I see what he's trying to do. He's trying to keep his quarterback from getting killed. He's trying to run the ball a lot to stay out of third downs, which is hard. Mm-hmm. If he calls deep drops, if he calls slow developing plays, they're not going to be able to protect him. And he doesn't have a guy that he can really go to make big plays. Mm-hmm. So you are severely hamstrung. So that's the context. Oh, and by the way, you're calling plays and trying to be the head coach too. This is a lot on your plate. So I think his degree of difficulty is about as high as it can be. And I think he's doing a reasonable job. I would give him a C+ so far.
Brian Callahan, as far as his coaching, like just from a play standpoint, because I think you have to, like if you're going to give him a full grade, you got to take into account the play calling, but then also some of his decisions that he's made aside from sort of the play calling, when he chose to, you know, be aggressive and when he chose not to. So in totality, I would give him a C because I think those other things sort of, in my mind, sort of takes away from what you may be doing well. But if I'm just strictly looking at it from a X's and O's standpoint, and believe me, people, I watched the games, both of them, twice. I watched it, you know, on television, the whole game. Then I went back. Matter of fact, three times. Then I went back and I watched it right after. I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched bits and pieces of it. Then I went back and watched the All-22. It's not the play calling necessarily. It's not. Because, again, he stuck in a situation that he thought was going to be better, the O-line. When the O-line's better, I can call more things. I can do more things. I have time, i.e. Matthew Stafford, his offensive line last week. He had forever to throw sometimes. And he was able to play action and hit those deep balls down the field, those deep ends and those deep out routes or those corner routes. He was able to hit those routes. But because the lack of personnel, what he wanted to do, he can't do. What he tried to do, he realized he can't do anymore. So what he's left to do is run the football. I think he's called a good game. Now, listen, when you're going up against Sean Payton and Sean McVay, I mean, listen, you better call damn near a perfect game to beat both of those guys. He's called good games. Okay, he hasn't, to me, called a, if I'm just saying from X's and O's, he hasn't called a bad game. This league, if you have a system, the system is only as good as your players. The system is only as good as your players. I've seen just about a lot of systems. And I seen when they didn't work, usually it's because they didn't have the players. And I saw when they did work, when they had the players or the guy underneath center that was a veteran guy. They don't have the players. still having leakage up front. He's trying, and I've heard this misnomer that he's not trying to get the ball down the field, that they need to take chunk shot. They're calling them. He's calling them. People, he's calling these chunk plays. He's calling plays down the field.
They've thrown quite a few of them.
Yeah, but he's calling them. Like, play action, he's calling them. They just don't get the time. Or the quarterback eyes are too slow. So these things that y'all want Callahan to do, and again, I'm not making no excuse. Bottom line is, you got to win in this league. And if you ain't winning, you out the door. That's the bottom line. So don't think I'm sitting here making an excuse for him. But I am telling you from experience, when you don't have the Jimmy and the Joes, you ain't scoring on nobody. You're not consistently moving the ball down the field. You're just not. You got to have some guys that fit your system, that are ready to go, and can make plays for you. Again, they don't need to make the great play, but they make that play when they need to make it.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How would you assess Brian Callahan's play calling for Cam Ward so far? What more can Callahan do to accentuate Ward's strength? We'll continue this conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you that later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville with first pitch at 5:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
With Ward and the game-to-game improvements that you touched on, like, what would you say is the next step of improvement for him, and how much will that tie into things opening up a little bit more for him as far as attempts and things like that?
You know, I think some of the commitment to trying to run the ball is the defenses we were playing. You know, that's part of it. That's, you know, how do you keep the defense from teeing off? Well, you try to stay in manageable spots. And we've put ourselves in some tough third downs, I think, over the course of these two games, on a first down sack or a penalty or things of that nature. But really, how do you play teams that can rush the passer? Is you got to be able to run a football, and you got to put yourself in more manageable spots on third down in particular. The old stay on schedule adage, you know, I think the Rams were a really good example of that yesterday. I mean, they put themselves in, I think, third and five or less quite a bit during that game. It doesn't allow you to get your pressure packages up. It's harder to rush the quarterback. The ball comes out faster. All of those things factor in when you're trying to maintain some rhythm and some balance. And, you know, for the first 2 weeks, we've tried to do that. And to, you know, to say Cam's going to go out there and we're going to throw the ball 45 times a game at the moment, I don't know that that's accurate or smart to do in that case. Certainly, if it was necessity and we had to, then so be it. But I just think you still want to have some semblance of balance. You want to run the football well, which I thought we did run the football well yesterday. I thought Tony Pollard had a really nice game. And that's how you help your line, too, is you keep it balanced and you work your actions off of it. I thought we got a ton of production out of our movement game yesterday. You know, some of the play action and keepers that were off of that stuff that we put on tape. So it's still an evolving process, and he's getting better and doing things from a footwork perspective and a timing perspective. Every time he's been out, he's gotten better at it. I think that'll continue.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday on Cam Ward. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. I want to pinpoint one thing that Callahan mentioned, talking about third down situations. I did some quick math, so hopefully this is correct. The Titans have had 29 plays on third down through two games. 19 of 29 have been at least third and seven. Seven have been between third and three and third and six, and just three have been third and short, 1 or 2 yards. So 19 of 29. The Titans have faced third and at least seven, which puts Cam Ward and Brian Callahan in disadvantageous situations.
Yeah, it does. And Callahan talks about it. I mean, Cam Ward talks about it. You know, you can't do things that are going to put you behind the sticks in this league. So, but I think, and we talked about this before the season, and, you know, and I mentioned, like, Brian Callahan, because we were talking about discipline. I said, Brian Callahan has to be disciplined to developing this quarterback and not worried about his job. Because if he's worried about his job, he's going to try to expedite the process of the quarterback. I hear now people want him to throw the ball more. Don't listen to them. Don't. Let it go on one ear and out the other. Anybody who said, even on the team, don't listen. Because what that does is forces you to circumvent the process, forces you to speed up the process. Maybe the kid can handle it, but what if he can't? Because you worried about your job, or you're worried about what everyone else from the outside is saying. Do not rush this quarterback. Continue to run the football. That is the best thing you can do for this young quarterback, because, one, the offensive line isn't blocking well right now in the pass. There's not enough separation on the outside. I'm not saying they're not getting any. There's just not enough separation on the outside, okay? And there have been way too many drop footballs, for my liking anyway, in two games. So do not, and I repeat, the worst thing Brian Callahan can do is say, you know what, we're going to abandon our development process. I'm going to abandon the process. And we just going to start throwing the ball across the yard, because this is what this young quarterback can do. That will hurt him more than anything. Keep running the football, because Pollard is doing well. The offensive line is blocking well. Keep running the football and force teams to stop it. And then that's when that play action come into effect. That's when moving Cam out of the pocket. But if you ain't running the football, you can't move the pocket. If you ain't running the football, you ain't play action. Have y'all watched football, people? If you ain't running the football, play action is useless. I'm telling you that. When you ain't running the football, those boots and nicks, they are useless because they're not honoring it. They honor it with four guys. Teams are great up front against the run. Why? A lot of times because they can stop it with four guys. They get that penetration with four guys. When you can't stop the run, I mean, if you can't run the football, you think they're going to respect anything that you do? They're not.
I go back to my theme of the day. I'm going to keep coming back to this, and I challenge people on our text line or phone line to come at me with the answer to these questions.
Come at me, bro. You forgot bro.
I won't throw in a bro
you
yet.
Can't say come
I'm
at
not
me.
Angry. I'm
you
not angry.
Yeah, he's not angry.
I just want you to come at me.
Okay.
Come at me.
615.
I'll add the bro.
737-1025. You tell me, if you're the defensive coordinator and you're game planning on the Titans, who you are scared of? Oh, who's your best? So who's their best player? Calvin Ridley? We can scheme against him. Not a big deal. That doesn't scare me. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard? Yeah, okay. They're gonna run it. He's solid. Is he gonna hit a home run? Probably not. And then we'll eventually we will get them into third and seven or longer, and none of the receivers really are worried about it or matchup problems. We'll get our stops. Like the Rams, they didn't take any big chances or anything like that. They stayed in the game. The Titans, I thought, fought. And they don't have enough to get into the end zone. They even got some field goals. Their kicker is doing a heck of a job hitting the long ones, right? So they don't have to drive that far. Mm-hmm. But the Rams are sitting back the entire game going, let's just not screw it up. We're over 60 minutes, the better team is going to win. So tell me how you call plays with the personnel that you have, especially with Latham out. So, and I don't, on Wednesday, I guess tomorrow we'll find out if there's any hope that Latham is coming back. I'm not sure if it's going to be any better on Sunday. And you got the Colts coming in who are a decent team. They're not as good as the defense. But I'm looking at the Colts and I'm saying, if I'm the Colts, I'm licking my chops going up against this offense.
Hey, Daniel Jones is balling.
Hey,
right,
he look
now.
Good.
Indiana Jones, you mean?
I don't love that.
That's the nickname they gave him.
I've heard that. I don't love that. But it's for the reasons that the both of you just listed, talking about the Titans offense, that had me saying at the beginning of the show yesterday, tongue firmly planted in cheek, that I think the only way the Titans are going to score touchdowns this season is if Cam Ward does what he did on Sunday for his first career touchdown pass. Like, it was a miraculous play. Again, a roughly 14% chance of working out, according to the NFL. And I joked about it, but there's part of me that's like, I think the only way they're going to score is if Cam Ward does something crazy like that.
Well, he's going to have to. And I do, you know, hope things get better. You know, Calvin Ridley, he had a drop this game, but he showed up for the most part from his disastrous first game. He showed up in the second game, had a big drop, which would have kept the drive alive. But outside of that, you came in and you played, you know. So they just need the guys that they have, you know. Isle Manor, it seems like Ellick, it seems like he can be, teams are going to be, he's on team's radar now. Teams are going to start looking, it's like, okay.
He's had 200 yards receiving.
No, but what I'm saying is that when things like that happen, you shine a light. It may not be bright, but you get a light shined on you now saying, okay, we need to watch this guy.
Well.
Yeah, we need to watch
he's
this guy.
He's a good fourth round pick. Not elite.
Exactly. But we need to watch him because he is a guy that if you're not paying attention, he will go up and get those back shoulders and those 50-50s and get open. So we're going to keep an eye on him. But they need these guys, all of them, collectively, to up their game up a little bit more. Like, you know, typically you have your veteran quarterback in underneath center. And he turns his game up, which allows everybody else, the good ones, the great ones, allow everybody else to turn theirs up, you know? Right now, the quarterback, there's not enough shown for the quarterback, because he's already turned it up a little bit, but ain't nobody really helping him. Those other guys got to turn that. Calvin Ridley, you got to turn it up a little bit more. Chig, you got to turn it up a little bit more. Alec, y'all got to turn it up a little bit more, because with a young rookie quarterback, he needs that help. Offensive line, y'all need to be on five right about now, and that's out of five. Y'all need to be turned the heck up and ready to go. But those other guys, y'all need to just turn it up a tad bit. I'm not going to sit here and say that y'all can't play. Y'all can't play. Y'all wouldn't be on this team, or y'all wouldn't be in the NFL. I believe they can play, but they got to up their game up too.
The Colts, especially being that the game is here, they should have some better matchups. It shouldn't be as hard for the Titans offense, maybe to block the front four, etc. So let's hope that it looks a little better, because the Colts, I don't think their defense is bad or anything like that, but it's not the high level, I think, of the first two. So that's something to watch on Sunday.
Blake Bedingfield of PaulGaharski.com does a thorough review of each game. I highly recommend them if you subscribe to Paul's site. And if you don't subscribe to Paul's site, you should. Paul, the check should be in the mail for that one. But Blake Bedingfield said this about the Titans' offense on Sunday, and I want you guys to tell me if you agree. In a section he calls the best things he saw, or the best things I saw, meaning Blake Bedingfield, he writes, quote, "The Titans' offensive game plan of moving the pocket with Ward and allowing his receivers more time to separate. Ridley is at his best on deep crossing routes, and that extra time for him to open up was perfect for him. He also mentions Ward escaping in the pocket and creating plays downfield got him into a rhythm and made him very comfortable in the pocket. He also did praise Brian Callahan for his play calling in the first half." I want to make sure I find this precise review. He said, quote, "The first half of football for the Titans was the best play calling to date for Brian Callahan. Great mix of run slash pass and moving the pocket for the quarterback. Also did a good job of running the clock, shortening the game, and leaving the Rams defense on the field on a hot day, which they aren't accustomed to."
Yes, I thought that was very apparent what they were trying to do. I agree with that assessment. I thought he did about as well as you can, but you're still limited. Mm-hmm. You still needed somebody to make a big play somewhere to get the ball into the end zone. And that's where I think the Rams were good, of just being patient. They didn't take a ton of chances, and they figured. To the Titans' credit too, they only have turned the ball over one time in two games. That's pretty good for a rookie quarterback, and considering their lack of protection. But what happened? The Rams were patient. They hung around. They got their one turnover, and boom! That was pretty much the ball game right there.
They got to get better in the red zone too. The Titans do
big time,
because if they are better in the red zone, they're going to have a chance to win more games than not. This team hasn't done well in the red zone the last two games.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on Brian Callahan and Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans. We have some reaction. We'll get to it next. 615-737-1025.
Come at me!
Bro, that shocked me. I was not prepared for that. That startled me just a little bit. Come at Willie, bro. You can't say come at me without bro. You just can't do it. But now is your chance to come at Willie, bro. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Well, he showed an awful lot there, didn't he? He threw that ball all the way across the field, which is everything you tell the guy not to do. And it was just a perfect strike with tremendous power in his arm.
There were quite a few of those plays yesterday, Jim. I was impressed by what he was able to do out of the pocket. He made some plays with his feet and threw a couple balls in timing and rhythm down the field to some receivers that were really impressive. And then the touchdown pass was a play of its own. You know, it almost looked a little Patrick Mahomes-ish, where you're running around back there buying all sorts of time and then throwing it to the part of the field where nobody thought you'd throw it. And it was an impressive play by the kid.
That was Matthew Stafford, who apparently has a podcast. Don't let anyone have a podcast these days. But that was Matthew Stafford's review of Cam Ward, whom he faced on Sunday here in Nashville. Willie Donick, Derek Mason,
Adam Vingan. Does he watch the game? Like, what does he do? Does he watch Cam? Aren't you, like, buried in the iPad and talking to your...
Not really.
No?
For a minute, yeah. And then you go get up and like, oh, what are they doing?
So one person has texted in for you, Willie, but they did not come at you.
Oh, man.
Okay. They said, you nailed it, Willie. There is no one on the offense that scares a defense. Until the offensive line is dependable, there will continue to be problems with this offense. Rams in the second half kept dropping 7 in coverage because their front four were winning the line of scrimmage. On the other hand, Chris on our text line says, sorry, but I am not going to make the excuse of Brian Callahan doesn't have a good team. Do you think other teams are stacked? San Francisco is missing their starting quarterback and stud tight end and still winning, so don't tell me it's a player issue. Well, first of all, Chris, I happened to watch that game. The Niners played the Saints, okay, on Sunday. So no disrespect to Mac Jones and whichever tight end is filling in for George Kittle. I don't remember who it is off the top of my head. Let's talk about degree of difficulty here. I get your point, though. I just wanted to throw that.
Well, listen.
Take the players on the 49ers and take the players on the Titans, and you tell me which offense you take, with those guys.
Well, the 49ers didn't make the playoff last year. They were bad last year. Even the great, you know, Kyle Shanahan, you know, if he ain't got the Jimmys and the Joes, you're not winning. And it showed last year because a lot of his guys were hurt. So you're trying to operate with guys that really can't run the system the way you want to run it, which caused you to miss the playoffs. So, again, I go back to, you know, it's about the players within the system that you're running. There are some good systems out there. There's a lot of them out there. All of them. Listen, everybody is essentially, there's half the NFL running one thing, and then the other half of the NFL is running another thing. They're all running the same. It's just a variation of it. It's like how they run it, but they call it the same plays. It's the same offense, so to speak. But with Brian Callahan with the Titans, and, you know, he said something, Matthew Stafford, he said something about Cam Ward. And I don't want people, because I mentioned this to y'all via text, the Caleb Williams sort of effect, where, yeah, I like that he can run around and you want that in your quarterback and throw that, you know, across the field, 9-yard touchdown, which Adam is going to try to protest and say it was longer than that, but we all know it wasn't. I don't care if he ran to the other end zone and threw it. It's still a 9-yard touchdown.
It was like 43 air yards. So, David, I want you to consider that for Friday.
No. Good luck with that. Considered and denied.
So that's okay. I still went 3-for-4.
But those plays are great. But I don't want people to get enticed. I don't want people to get hypnotized. I don't want people to, you know, get in this trance with him doing these things. Because that's what they were doing in Chicago. They were, ooh, look at him. Ooh. But then when you look at the pocket, he's not operating in the pocket the way he needs to. His team's not giving him the time that he needs. Guys are not making plays. All that stuff is great. But how did the Chicago Bears end up with a top 5 pick, I believe, and a new coach? I love what Cam has done as far as his scrambling ability. Keep it. But I don't want to get used to that. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, it was a Patrick Mahomes type throw, but Patrick Mahomes know how to throw from the pocket too.
By the way, Mr. G has responded to the other texter about the 49ers. He goes, "Hey guys, Mr. G here. Hello, Mr. G. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I was born and raised in San Francisco. I didn't know that, Mr. G. He is a big 49ers fan here. First, yeah, we did play the Saints. They are not exactly the Ravens or Bills. Second, we have a guy named Christian McCaffrey, who you may have heard of."
Is he healthy?
Right. McCaffrey's on the field.
They're 2-0. They're making it work.
Exactly.
Even though they lost their starting quarterback, they brought in Mac Jones. They got a win against the team they should beat. They have a very good defense, right, which makes their margin for error on offense a little easier. And eventually, they hope to have Brandon Ayuk back, mm-hmm. Brock Purdy back, you know maybe George Kittle back at some point.
I know that this game isn't for like a couple of months, but Saints at Titans, you may want to stock up on Pepto-Bismol for that game. That game, we're all going to watch it. Well, but
that is going to be something that will be a cross-reference, right? Is how does the play calling, when you're playing the Saints or the Patriots or some of the other teams, it does get a little bit easier, right? And so the offense, therefore, should look a little bit better if they can stay reasonably healthy.
I mean, which
the Pepto-Bismol is probably a good idea, though.
Yes. How about the Pepto-Biz Bowl? Has college football taken that yet?
They will now once they hear it.
Let's stay on the topic. Speaking of Kyle Shanahan, so let's go back to that tweet that I referenced at the top of the show from Dan Orlovsky that got me thinking. He said, quote, "If you don't have a difference maker as a play caller in the NFL today, you won't survive as a team. The disparity is glaring." That's all he wrote. And I know that I did this exercise last week, I think, and I've pulled back up the list. ESPN had a handy list of all of the play callers across the NFL. And I looked at play calling head coaches. Half the league, 16 of 32. 16 of 32 teams have play calling head coaches. So I know by doing this, I am eliminating half the league, and perhaps one of those non-head coach play callers is a quote-unquote difference maker, as Dan Orlovsky said on X. But I just want to look at the play calling head coaches, and you guys tell me how many of these play calling head coaches you would consider a quote-unquote difference maker, okay? We'll run through it quickly. Mike McDaniel.
Got hot for a while, but he's now on the hottest seat in the league.
Zach Taylor.
Nope.
He says no. I was leaning yes, but D-May's kind of convinced me otherwise.
Kevin Stefanski.
Definitely not.
No.
Shane Steichen.
Yeah, I mean,
it looks good right now.
Yeah, it looks good now. Well, they won a Super Bowl. I mean, hell. So, yes.
Liam Cohen. Probably too soon to tell.
Yeah. Now, they had some infighting on Sunday, and they were not able to beat the Bengals without
Bengals.
The Burrow-less Bengals.
Yes. Of course, Brian Callahan. Sean Payton.
Absolutely.
I think he's a difference maker.
Andy Reid.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Maybe the best ever.
Brian Schottenheimer.
I would say yes.
No. I think he's a good play caller, but
he did not call the plays in Dallas. He has play calling experience prior to becoming the Dallas offensive coordinator.
Is this the first time he's been a head coach?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. I feel like he's been in the league for a while.
All right. Brian Schottenheimer, I said. Ben Johnson.
TBD, just became a head coach.
It did work well in Detroit.
Yes. So.
Okay, but we're talking about guys who are doing both, right?
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, to be
we're
determined.
We're off to a terrible start, right? They just gave up 52. They're 0-2.
Matt LaFleur.
Yes.
Willie.
I got to give him the benefit of the doubt. They've won a lot of games.
Kevin O'Connell.
Yes.
Yes, no doubt.
Dave Canales.
But now O'Connell will be challenged these next couple of weeks without. Yes. McCarthy, and McCarthy was not looking great.
Right. Dave Canales.
Is it too early? I mean, does he have the horses?
Probably not.
Kellen Moore.
Very early.
He
would be in the boat of Callahan and Canales. Okay, you're a genius play caller. Make it work with these guys. Good luck. They got nothing.
My dad.
Tell me if you have a fantasy player in your lineup from the Titans, the the Carolina, Carolina Panthers or the New Orleans Saints? Do you have
probably
a player
not.
In your fantasy lineup from either of those three teams? Now call plays for those guys. The answer is no.
My father.
Unless you're in a team with like 17 teams in your league.
My father, who I visited this weekend, is convinced that Spencer Rattler will never win a game in the NFL. and he said, what about this coach? He's supposed to be a genius. I said, Dad, even the brightest geniuses can't fix Spencer Rattler. We sort of had the same conversation about Brian Callahan and Will Levis last season. Last two, quickly, Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay.
Those guys, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
So how many did you both agree on?
Four?
Four or five,
four?
Right?
Four or five, yeah.
Out of 16.
And some, it's early, yes. Yeah. Right? And some were trying to consider, what have you had to work with?
Exactly.
Right. But your point about the fantasy players is well taken.
Yeah, but I mean, it's become a... Not only has it become an arms race with the quarterbacks, it's always been a, well, at least, like, what would you say, Willie, after about mid, late 90s, where it really became a quarterback-centric, it was a running back for the longest. Like, the running back was the guy on the team. The quarterback played second fiddle to a lot of the big running backs back in the days. Now, I think that, obviously, it's an arms race with quarterbacks, but it's not even that anymore. It's arms races with these play callers, trying to find that one play caller.
Well, let's use the example of the Texans, right? For that 1 year, 2 years ago, Bobby Slowick was a big talk. Like, he looked like he was going to be on this list, right? Adam, we thought a couple years ago that Bobby Slowick, Bobby Slowick, hell, well, he could be great. 1 year later, he gets canned. And now, are they happy with that decision? Their offense looks terrible after 2 weeks. Last night, they got booed. Mm. They got booed, and they were in position to win the game, but their offense was terrible last night. They scored 9 in the first game, and they came back with, what did they get,
19? It was like 20-19. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean...
They had trouble last night.
Yeah, and it's a stark contrast from his first year to what he's done since Slowick has left. Why they parted ways, I'm sure they come up more in depth, you know, later on down the line. But Dan Orlovsky has a point. Like, if you don't have that guy, and he doesn't even have to be a head coach.
Right,
but if you don't have that guy,
play calling head coach.
Yeah, but if you really don't have that guy, if he's supposed to be your head coach and play caller, he needs to be the guy. He has to be the guy. If he's not, then you don't make him your head coach. You can't. They did it this time. I get it. They was giving him an opportunity. I do believe he can get the job done. But is it going to take a little bit longer than what they expected? Because if it is, I'm not sure how long the fan base, one, is going to be patient. I tell you, they're not patient right now. I don't blame them, but they're not. But then, two, when does the patience start to wear thin in the building? You know, so I think he's a second-year play caller. Still learning things. The quarterback's learning things. And sometimes that's not a good mixture. It's not. I mean, I know it worked for Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, but maybe Joe Burrow getting hurt that first year helped him, you know, sit out the remainder of the season and really learn that offense and then come back the next year, add some bona fide weapons, and off we run.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on Brian Callahan and the Tennessee Titans at 615-737-1025. But coming up next, we have a question for all you Vols fans out there. We did not get to Tennessee's loss to Georgia yesterday, talking Titans and Vanderbilt, but we do want to reach out to all of you Vols fans. We do have a question for you, and we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.